I honestly think this is one of the coolest sights you will see, and it happens all across the state of Connecticut, the annual torch run this week. Law enforcement officials and Special Olympics athletes will carry the flame of hope across the state and raise awareness and funds for Special Olympics programs. It starts tomorrow. And before that, I wanted to talk to Mike Mason, who is the president and CEO of Special Olympics Connecticut. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Are you kidding? I love the torch run. I want to figure out how to be part of the torch run one of these years. I think it's so stellar. I've seen it as a reporter. I've recorded it, obviously, for when I worked in television. And I've had police departments on this show to talk about why they get involved with the torch run. But it is so cool. It honestly is one of the coolest things I think that you guys do every single year. So kudos to you guys.
No, it is. It is. And for many, you talk to folks, both our athletes and to the law enforcement folks that are part of it, the 1,800 of them that will run over the next 3 days. It's a life-changing event. It truly is.
So when did Connecticut start the torch run?
Well, we've been doing the torch run since the 1980s, so it's been a long time. We were one of the first states in the country that adopted it after it started in Kansas.
That is so cool. And for people who have never witnessed it or taken part in this, what exactly is the torch run? I mean, it sounds self-explanatory, but talk a little bit about the logistics and what goes on over the next 3 days.
Well, our law enforcement officials, you know, federal, state, local, and university and college security are involved in carrying the torch across 13 different routes across Connecticut. There's 13 legs, and so we carry it all across Connecticut. And it's literally the torch, that flame of hope that our athletes, it's a symbol of Special Olympics, and it all culminates in the final leg that brings the flame of hope from across the whole state into Gestile Field and lights the cauldron in our opening ceremonies on Friday night, which is the official start of our summer games.
Talk about the relationship, Mike, between law enforcement and Special Olympics, because I think that is something that's really powerful, but I want to understand the link between the two.
Well, you have our law enforcement folks across the state that support Special Olympics in so many different ways. So many are unified partners playing sports year-round with our athletes. But specifically in the torch run, across every town, they're raising money. So there's town captains in each department, and they do things like tip a cop. So you go to a restaurant, you have dinner, they're waiting on you, you leave them a tip, all the money goes to Special Olympics. They do our penguin plunges, so they jump, you know, in frozen water in the wintertime to raise money for our athletes. They do Over the Edge with us out at Mohegan Sun. They rappel down 34 stories of the Mohegan Sun Sun Tower. So there's so much that they do for us year-round. And this year, their goal is to raise over $1 million to support our athletes and their families and the programs that we provide to them.
Wow. And again, I'm going to obviously spend some time, Mike, kind of picking your brain and helping people to understand. Because again, on the surface, I think people could tell you what Special Olympics is all about. But I want to talk about some of the programs and the impact it has on people here in our state. And again, Mike Mason, sure, the perfect person to talk to about this because he is the president and CEO of Special Olympics Connecticut. I'm on your website, Mike, and I want to share some of these stats because I think they're powerful. 1986 was the first year Connecticut had its torch run with a few legs covering the campus of the University of Connecticut, up in Storrs. It has now become a statewide event. It now involves over 90 active municipal departments, 18 Department of Correction facilities, more than 1,500 active and retired law enforcement. Why do you think this got so big?
Because for our law enforcement officials, they've told us that this is like the greatest thing for them in terms of mental health, to be involved with us, to see the joy that it brings to the athletes, and for them to actually at a very real level get to know our athletes. So if you spend the day on torch run and you're jumping on and off a truck and running a few miles and resting and running a few miles, and you're going across Connecticut with an athlete that's doing that alongside you, you really get to know that person. And so our athletes are part of everything we do. We're very much a unified program. And so we have several athletes who sit on our torch run council, which is our board of directors, volunteer board of directors just for the Torch Run here in Connecticut, and they help to outline all the things that are going to take place throughout the year, not only to raise money, but like the Torch Run that we're going to do over the next 3 days, to safely raise awareness across the state for people that maybe have no idea what Special Olympics is about and the depth of the programs. Like you're saying, most people would never think that Special Olympics is the largest provider of health care for people with intellectual disabilities, and we are.
Wow. That is amazing. I don't know if people realize that. I certainly didn't realize that. I mean, I know for Special Olympics, you know, the programs as far as socially and, you know, equality, I think are really incredible. But I didn't realize that about, you know, the health aspect. I didn't realize that.
So this weekend, so, you know, we're on three locations. We have athletes that are competing in track and field and swimming at Southern. We have soccer and tennis over at Hampden Hall Country Day School. And on Saturday, only Saturday, we have cycling at the Yale West Campus in Orange. But in addition to that, we have our Healthy Athletes Village. And so we provide free health care with the help of hundreds of great medical professionals who donate their time and their equipment. And we're able to, you come to Southern, an athlete goes into the Michael J. Adante Student Center. They go through opening eyes, is one of the eight disciplines we offer. They get a complete eye exam, just like you would get by going to your eye doctor. All the equipment is there that you see in an eye doctor's office. If they need to have their vision corrected, they'll pick out a set of frames, just like you and I may do in an ophthalmologist's office. And the glasses are ground and made for them right there at Southern so that they can go back, do a few more events that day in terms of their competition, come back and pick up their glasses. It's all free of charge to them.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Ugh.
We do that for audiology, for hearing. Wow. We do that for podiatry, for your feet. We have cardiological screenings. I mean, it's a very, very complete analysis of any kind of issues that they have. And then we also offer follow-up care. So you come in, you get a dental exam if you need to have a tooth filled or a crown. We've actually had athletes for free have implants, complete implants done through a group of wonderful dentists across Connecticut that will see our athletes, whether they have insurance or not.
So I have a brother who's on the spectrum, Mike, and so I'm familiar with Special Olympics, and this was more in the 90s when he was nonverbal. But I did not realize the healthcare aspect of it. Has that always been part of Special Olympics Connecticut?
No, not back in the 90s. So it is it's not just Connecticut. So it is in our international movement, mm-hmm. Is the healthy athletes disciplines.
Wow.
And those have been provided now here in Connecticut. This will be, I believe, our 18th year of doing that.
That's amazing. And I love learning that aspect of it. I've always loved Special Olympics. I did not realize the healthcare aspect of it. That is life changing. Mike Mason is here, president and CEO of Special Olympics Connecticut. And we are talking about the annual Torch Run, which starts tomorrow. It ends on Friday. Law enforcement officers, Special Olympics athletes will carry the flame of hope across the state of Connecticut. I was looking at the rundown because, Mike, it is amazing, the map, which you could find on the website. I'm going to link it to Mike's podcast. But you've got a lot of route details and everything. I will say, for those of you who are listening right here in Fairfield County, Lower New Haven County, the Valley, that's where a lot of our listening audience is, Mike. Friday is going to be your day. Keep a very close eye out. The three legs there, leg 9A, 9B, and leg 10, you're looking at more of the Wilton Pocket and then the Monroe into New Haven and then lower Fairfield County up to New Haven. That's going to be our day, if you will, and the blue arrows on the map. That's where you're going to see a lot of our law enforcement, taking part in this. And I want to talk about, Mike, before we go back to the Torch Run really quickly, you were just talking about healthcare, probably something that people don't even realize is a huge part of Special Olympics. Talk about some of the programs here in Connecticut, because I know the Torch Run is a huge fundraiser for you guys and what this goes back towards the many athletes, people who are connected to Special Olympics.
Well, from the healthcare aspect, you know, a little bit about what we offer this weekend at the games. And so of the over 2,000 athletes and unified partners and coaches, of those athletes, we will see over 500 of them go through the Healthy Athletes Village and receive those type of medical services, and then be referred off if needed to for follow-up care, whether it's with an audiologist or with a dentist, et cetera. All of that, they're all volunteers, but all the stuff that we do costs money. So, right, we're at Southern, we take over their campus. There's a cost for doing that. All the materials, all the things that we have to purchase to give out to athletes. It's a very, comprehensive program, and there's costs associated with that. And our officers year round, this is the big public event that they do for us. But year round, we have officers across the state raising funds for us. Correction officers, municipal officers, state troopers. And without the state police, we would never be able to do the torch run. Melissa, you were looking at that map, and you don't just figure that out on the fly, like where you're going to drive, right, and how this is going to go all across. It's over 400 miles over the next 3 days that they'll run the torch. And so it's quite the logistic challenge to do that. And we could never do that without the support of the state police.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm just pulling up something random, Mike, just to give people an idea. So Greenwich, for example, it looks like they're running for just shy of an hour, going close to 4 miles. I'm curious, how long are usually the legs that the law enforcement and the athletes will run typically?
Well, some can run a mile. Some will run the whole town. So many departments, they'll run their town. They pass the torch off to the next town. That's how it works logistically. It's passed off like that, town to town to town, as they run the route each leg. But I've met people that in the morning, so tomorrow morning, bright and early, at Whelan Engineering is one of our statewide sponsors for Torch Run, presenting sponsors at Torch Run. They've been doing it. This is their 29th year with us. And so we go to their plant in Chester, and people start running there. And most of them are state troopers. And at the tomorrow night, at the end of the day, we have a big Torch Run rally out in Eastern Connecticut at Foxwoods. And I will see some of the officers who started that morning. I will see them 30 plus miles later still running the Torch Run. And
wow.
And they don't run the whole way, but on and off. And they say, like, I'll run 6 miles. I'll take a break for a half hour. Then I'll run another 8 miles and I take a break. So it's anywhere. It's like Special Olympics, right? We serve all people. And so the same thing with the Torch Run. As long as you can run a 10-minute mile, you can do the Torch Run. And some people do it and, do 1 mile and step off, and other people stick with it for the whole day.
Yeah, that's amazing. And again, I'm kind of just looking at a quick glance, but like Greenwich to Stamford, you're looking at more than a 5K. It's like 3.85 miles, I believe, is what it's looking like. And all of them kind of look to be about 2.5 to 4 miles to get to one, town line to the next. But it's really impressive. And I encourage people to keep an eye out and to applaud the people running. I mean, talk about even just the civic engagement that people can have if they're not running, but they can obviously, they can give monetary, they can give money, which they should. But the other thing is to really cheer on the people who are doing this, right? I mean, over the next few days, keep an eye out and get involved.
Yes. And that is, some towns really embrace it, and they'll bring out like the route runs in front of schools, et cetera, and the students will come out and cheer and have
That's
signs
so
for
cool.
Torch Run and cheering on the athletes. And, our unified sports are so embedded in the schools here in Connecticut. Unified sports started here 34 years ago. And my predecessor, Bo Doherty, was the person. It was his brainchild to bring unified sports, where you have teammates with and without intellectual disabilities competing as equal teammates on a team. And so those schools offer those programs, and because they have that awareness and that sensitivity, they come out to cheer for Torch Run. And we're in over 300 schools in Connecticut now, from elementary, actually from preschools in our young athletes program, right through high school and the transition programs into our community-based programs.
That's amazing. I think that's amazing. And again, I'm going to link the website for people to follow along, certainly learn more and support Special Olympics Connecticut. And Mike Mason, I want to thank you and your entire team for what you do at Special Olympics Connecticut. And thank you for giving us the time here on WICC. I hope it's another great, successful year for you guys in the Torch Run.
Well, Melissa, thank you for the opportunity to get the word out about what we're doing. And really, our staff are amazing people, but all of them will tell you none of this happens without the volunteers. So if people are looking for something to do as an individual or a family this weekend, come out to Southern Connecticut State University on Wintergreen Avenue, big parking garage there by the pool. Plenty of parking. Come see us and come over a huge volunteer tent, sign up and spend part of your day with us. I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed in the amazing people that you will help and that you will meet.
Well, I can't echo that enough, Mike. I think obviously volunteering, donating, being a part of this is something to feel really great about. And when you see how many people are impacted by Special Olympics, by the way, do we know, Mike, how many people use Special Olympics Connecticut?
We serve just under 14,000 people in Connecticut.
Wow. That's amazing.
And we're touching, that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's estimated that the population of people that we could work with are more around 110,000 people.
Holy cow. That's extraordinary.
So if you know somebody, we're always our arms are open. We're always ready to embrace another athlete and get them in the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm going to put a link on our website, voiceofct.com, for people to learn more and to get engaged. Thank you so much, Mike Mason, again, for what you do, President and CEO of Special Olympics Connecticut.